الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So we begin this evening بفضل الله تعالى, gathering together in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to study together a great treatise, a great work authored by a great imam of the sunnah, a treatise entitled Al-Usul Al-Sitta Al-Azima, the great six principles, authored by the great imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab Al-Tamimi rahimahullah ta'ala. And we begin reminding each other of the greatness of this blessing, gathering in the masjid, gathering upon obedience, al-ijtima' ala ta'atillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the people right now at the same time, they're very busy. أشغلتهم الدنيا مشتغلون بدنياهم. Many of the people, they're very busy with the dunya, preoccupied in a state of heedlessness and negligence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us the success and the tawfiq to gather and a house from His houses, the most beloved places to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-masajid. So we thank Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this blessing, and we ask Him to increase us from His bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of this ummah, from the great imams of this ummah. He was born rahimahullah ta'ala in the year 1115 Hijri. And he lived, and he was born and raised in Uyayna. Uyayna is a small city in northern Saudi Arabia, Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Al-Saudiya, in the northern part by Bureida and Unayza and Uyayna. These towns are all close together. This is where he was born and raised. His father was an imam and a scholar, and his grandfather was an imam and a scholar. So we see that Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he comes from a home of knowledge. نَشَأَ فِي بَيْتِ عِلْمٍ وَفَضْلٍ. He was raised in a house of knowledge and virtue, raised upon knowledge and the etiquettes of knowledge and seeking knowledge, and he memorized the Qur'an at an early age, before puberty, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he traveled seeking knowledge outside the lands of Najd, in this area, in Uyayna. And he gained a lot of knowledge in aqidah and in fiqh, and he became firm in different sciences, in the sciences of hadith and tafsir likewise. And he was known, rahimahullah ta'ala, for being very concerned and giving a lot of attention to the books of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala and his great student Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. You will find that in many of the works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he either summarizes some of the works of these two imams, or he will mention portions there. You can definitely see the effect, the good effect that was upon him from studying the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and from studying the books of Ibn Qayyim, rahmatullahi ala al-jami'. Likewise, later in life of this great Imam, he paired up with al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sa'ud, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was an Amir. And together, with the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they established a dawla upon tawheed and upon sunnah. They established together by the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a dawla as-salafiyya. And they spread the sunnah far and wide in their lands. And tawheed spread far and wide until today. We still in these lands here, the barakah of the da'wah of these two imams, particularly Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, along with the aid and the support of Imam Muhammad ibn Sa'ud, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, we see that this pure da'wah, the da'wah to tawheed, the tawheed al-khalis, worshipping Allah alone with no partners, the tawheed, with da'wah ila sunnah, al-nabawiyya, al-mutahhara, the pure sunnah, and the way, and the methodology of the companions and the tabi'een, and the atba' tabi'een, is from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then from the efforts. That's why they call him al-mujaddid, the reviver, reviving the deen, and reviving the sunnah. And we see, even to this day, the barakah and the blessing of their da'wah and the effort still in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, al-Mamlaka Arabiya Saudiya, harasaha Allah. Still to this day we see that da'wah in effect spread wide and even reaching out even into America and in Europe and in all the other countries around the world. This da'wah is strong today, alhamdulillah. The da'wah to tawheed, the da'wah to as-sunnah, and the da'wah to as-salafiyya, as-sahiha. May Allah reward them the greatest reward and the best reward for their efforts, and increase them in His bounty in the hereafter, and enter them into His paradise, and make us from amongst those who love them and follow them and follow their way. We begin with this treatise. Excuse me, before that, the Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he died in the year 1206. Rahmatullahi alayhi. How many years ago was that? 194 years ago. Allahu Akbar. Still continuing to this day, after 194 years, the blessing of their da'wah, the blessing of their efforts. He's authored the works of like this book, Al-Usul al-Sitta, Al-Qawa'id al-Arba'ah, the four principles. Likewise, Al-Usul al-Thalatha, Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Tawheed, and many other works, Nawaqib al-Islam, works that are being memorized day and night by the students of knowledge and being taught in the masajid still to this day, 194 years later. This is all an indication of the ikhlas that these men had. Because whenever a person, he makes an effort, and his effort is sincere, and it's in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet, but the point is that he has ikhlas, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts the blessing in that. And it spreads by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sign that his efforts were accepted, rahimahullah wa ta'ala, that Allah has put the barakah and spread his da'wah even 100, almost 200 years later after his life, rahimahullah wa ta'ala. So we see, if we look, the brothers who have a copy, we can hold the text of this treatise in three pages. It's on three pieces of paper. It's very small, the wording and the amount of the text. Al-Usul al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles. But it is a great work and a very important work. And as the ulama, they have mentioned about this work, Al-Usul al-Sitta, هي تتعلق ببيان العقيدة السلفية والمنهج السلفي. These principles, they focus on the clarification of the correct creed, the correct belief, the belief of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, the Salaf al-Salih, and those who followed him. And likewise, not only the creed, this particular treatise, it touches and clarifies some of the fundamentals with regards to the creed and the belief of a Muslim, the correct creed. Likewise, the methodology, and the manhaj, and the manner that a person will apply this creed, and he will act according to the way of the pious predecessors. So this treatise, although it is small, it is great in what it contains from benefit. It is great from what it contains from benefit. We begin. I will mention in summarization the six principles, so we can have an outline of the book. Because if we can imagine what we're approaching and we can see in our minds and picture what we're studying, it's easier to comprehend and understand and to learn. So right now, inshallah, I will just mention the six principles generally without reading the text. So everybody, it will be clear, he has a brief introduction. After that, he mentions the first principle. The first principle is al-ikhlas, the obligation of having sincerity and worshipping Allah alone with tawheed and no one else whatsoever. And the clarification of the opposite of that, which is ash-shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first principle. The second principle is al-ijtima' fi al-deen, to be united in unification. The second principle, unification in the religion. Unification upon the religion. Unification in the deen, upon the deen. Naam, that's the second principle. The third principle, the obligation of hearing and obeying the Muslim ruler. The obligation of hearing and obeying the Muslim ruler. This is the third principle that he will mention, rahimahullah ta'ala. The fourth principle that the author will mention is the clarification of the reality of knowledge and who are the real ulama. Bayan al-ilmi wal-ulama. Naam, wal-fiqh wal-fuqaha. The fourth principle is in the clarification of the true knowledge, Islamic knowledge, the correct knowledge, the proper knowledge. And the true scholars, the real scholars, the upright scholars, and the clarification of those who try to imitate them and are not really from them. The fourth principle. The fifth principle is the clarification of the awliya of Allah. Who are the awliya of Allah? The allies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true believers. The true believers, those who have the aid and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are they really? The awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the fifth principle. And the sixth principle that the author will mention, rahimahullah ta'ala, is with regards to refutation of a misguided doubt that shaytan has placed in the minds of many people. And that is that the Quran and the Sunnah cannot be understood directly, except by somebody who is called al-mujtahid al-mutlaq, somebody who has reached the highest state of knowledge. So then as for the layman, they should not try to read the Quran for guidance, and they should not try to look into the Sunnah for guidance. You should just sit back, and they should sit back and take whatever the scholars say and don't ask any questions. So this is a refutation. The sixth principle is a refutation upon that. The sixth principle is a refutation upon that. So we begin reading. The author, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, began his treatise with the basmala. Al-basmalatu an yaqul al-insanu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Oh, with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. This is a great statement. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and this is a statement of seeking aid and assistance. Al-basmalatu kalimatul isti'ana. Bismillah. There's something missing here. العلماء يقولون الجر المجرور متعلق بمحذوف تقديره ما يناسب المقام. مثل هنا تقديره بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أكتب وَلِمَنْ يَأْكُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَكُلُ. Whenever we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful One is seeking aid and assistance. So whatever, for example here, whenever he writes this, what does it mean? With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious and Most Merciful, I seek aid and assistance to write this treatise. When a person is eating, he says Bismillah. Meaning Bismillah, with the name of Allah, I seek His aid and His blessing to eat. If a person is riding in his car, he gets in the car, Bismillah. Or any time a person says Bismillah, it's like this. The understood meaning is Bismillah, in the name of Allah, or with the name of Allah, seeking His aid and His assistance, I eat. Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this. That's why we say that what is the implied meaning comes in the end. And that it's suitable for the time. And the ba from the harf al-jar, for those who study the Arabic language, al-ba tufidu al-istiyana, ba al-istiyana, bismillah. مثلا تقول الإنسان قطعت بالسكين أو كتبت بالقلم أي باستعانة القلم كتبت نعم with the help of a pen I write. So the ba, the حروف الجار, these words, they have meanings. This is for the students of the Arabic language, a benefit maybe they already know. For the other people who haven't learned, the other brothers who haven't reached that yet, there's an encouragement to see the beauty of the Arabic language and the benefit that you can find behind learning the Arabic language and the importance of giving a lot of time and money and attention to learning the Arabic language. You will not regret it, inshallah. You will not regret it, inshallah. So when we say Bismillah, with the ba means the seeking the aid and the assistance. With the name of Allah, I'm seeking aid and assistance. And then whenever you mention in the end what you're doing, with the name of Allah, I eat. So you begin with the name of Allah, seeking His blessing. So there's two benefits here in this. When we say Bismillah, or whenever we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The two benefits from this, whenever a Muslim he states this statement and makes this dhikr, the first one is al-istiyana. He's seeking the aid and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second benefit, al-tabarruk bil-bad'i bi-ismihi al-kareem subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the blessing. So whenever a person he begins with the Bismillah, seeking the aid and assistance in Allah Azza wa Jal and what he is performing and the action that he is performing, and seeking the blessing likewise. And seeking the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise in that action. Because if Allah does not aid an individual, he can never accomplish anything. No matter how smart he may be or how strong he may be physically, he will not be able to accomplish it except with the aid and assistance of Allah. And then after that, Barakallah fikum. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids that individual, even his efforts will not bring fruits except with the barakah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then at all times that individual, a Muslim, he is in need of seeking the aid and assistance and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we get from the benefit of saying Bismillah. Bismillah. Whenever we eat Bismillah, whenever we write Bismillah, all the time the tongue is remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, but we have to know and remember that this is not just a statement without meaning, rather this is a statement of seeking aid from Allah and seeking blessing from Allah. And whenever the tongue he makes you, whenever an individual makes this statement with the tongue and the heart is combined at the same time, this is whenever the fruit will be there. This is whenever the aid will come from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is whenever the barakah will come. Not when it's just the tongue, lip service. La Bismillah. Meaning, oh Allah, help me, oh Allah, bless me. So the author, he began like this, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And he mentioned after that, Rahimahullah ta'ala, من عجب العجاب وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة أصول بينها الله تعالى بيانا واضحا للعوام فوق ما يظن ظانون ثم بعد هذا غالط فيها كثير من أذكياء العالم وعقلاء بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. This is the introduction of the author رحمه ta'ala that he has mentioned, and he mentions here, he says من عجب العجاب, من عجب العجاب, from the great, from the most amazing of affairs. He begins his treaty like this, يتعجب رحمه الله تعالى, finding amazement. He's amazed at something. We'll see what it is. He says من عجب العجاب, from the most amazing affairs, وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب, And from the most amazing of affairs, and from the greatest things, from the greatest signs that indicate the power of the King, the all overpowering, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sittatu usulin, six principles. Meaning these six principles, they're amazing. And likewise, these six principles, they indicate the greatness and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Malik al-Ghallab, al-Malik al-Ghallab. He says, six principles, bayana Allah ta'ala bayanan wadihan lil'awami fawqa ma yadhun dhanun. Six principles that Allah has clarified, the clearest of clarification. Six principles that Allah has clarified, the clearest of clarification to the layman. More, greater than what anybody could think, a person could speculate or have suspicion about, what one would think. It's greater that he clarified this clearer than what would be needed to clarify to the layman, even more clear than that. These affairs, they're clear. These six principles, they're not principles that are unclear, or they're foggy in their understanding, where they could be understood in one way or another way. These are clear principles. Naam? And Allah has clarified them in His book, even the clearest of clarification, even that the layman can understand them. ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا Then after that, after this clear clarification, غَالِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَثْقِيَاءِ الْعَالَمِ Many of the most intelligent people after that, the brightest, the swiftest of the people, they have erred with this regards. وَعُقَدَاءِ بَنِي آدَمْ And the intelligent ones from the people, or from the children of Adam, except for a few. So I'll repeat the translation again. The author, he says, and from the most amazing affairs, and the greatest signs that indicate the power of the King and the all-overpowering, six principles, Allah has clarified them clearly, or the clearest of clarification to the layman. Above what those who speculate would speculate, or one would think or suspect. It's greater than that. And then after this clarification, many of the brightest and the most intelligent people of the world, and from the children of Adam, they have erred and made a mistake with regards to these principles, except for a few. So we see that the author, he is clarifying in the beginning that this is not coming from him, rahimahullah ta'ala. These are not the principles that he has established himself. Rather, he has said, Sittatu usulin bayyanaha Allah ta'ala bayyanan wadihan lil'awam. There are six principles that Allah has clarified. Six principles that Allah has clarified. The clearest of clarifications. So these principles, these are principles that are found in the book, and these are principles that are found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are not principles that the author himself has invented or innovated, rahimahullah ta'ala. Rather, they are clarified by Allah, the clearest of clarification. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book, He has mentioned, He said, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in His book, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ And we have revealed the book to you, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a clarification for everything. And meaning a clarification for the usul and the furu' of the deen, for every aspect of the deen, the fundamentals, the clarification of the aqa'id. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي الْأَقَائِدِ وَالْعِبَادَاتِ وَالْأَحْكَامِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ وَفِي الدَّارَيْنِ وَفِي أَحْكَامِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has sent the book to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the clarification of everything with regards to creed and belief. Clarifications with regards to everything, from the rulings on how to worship and how to live in this life. Likewise, from the rulings of the hereafter and the issues that will occur at death and after death and on the day of resurrection and after the resurrection. Tibyanan li kulli shay. Allah revealed the book as a clarification for everything. As a clarification for everything, and likewise a guidance and a mercy and a glad tidings for the Muslims. The book was revealed like this for this reason, as a clarification for everything, wahuda, warahma, and a guidance from what it contains, from the direction of the beneficial knowledge, and from likewise what it contains from the direction of the righteous actions. It's guidance, warahma, for those who follow it, leading them to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the hereafter, wa bushra, giving glad tidings to those who believe in this book and follow it. Naam, lil muslimin, for the believers. So we see that these principles, they are clarified in the book, and Allah has clarified everything in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has clarified everything in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the clarification of these usul is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has mentioned about this and about His Prophet and the reality of this book being revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. He mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, and verily we have revealed to you the book, O Muhammad, the reminder, al-dhikr, ay al-Qur'an, so that you may clarify to the people that which has been revealed to them, and so that they may ponder and think. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has come as an explainer and a clarifier for what is in the Qur'an. So these usul, the author he mentioned here, بَيَّنَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيَّنًا وَاضِحًا فِي كِتَابِهِ وَفِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah has clarified these principles. And where did He clarify them? In the book, in His book, and likewise in the sunnah of His Prophet and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, he says, مِنْ أَعْجَبُ الْعُجَابِ. He began, يَتَعَجَّبُ رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى. He's amazed at something. يَتَعَجَّبُ عَلَى مَنْ أَخْطَأَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. He's finding it amazing that an individual, he could make an error with regards to this. And if these principles that are coming, the obligation of being sincere, the obligation of being unified in the religion, the obligation of listening to the rulers and obeying them and that which is correct and good, and to the end of these usul, they have been clarified clearly in the Quran, clarified in the Sunnah, in many different aspects, in many different ways, in more than one verse. How many verses has come? Kam ayat? جاءت في بيان وجوب الإخلاص والتوحيد وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه واعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا. Many verses coming, one after قل هو الله أحد. Verses in the Quran, one after another, clarifying clearly, آيات محكمات في بيان وجوب الإخلاص وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. Many verses in the Quran, in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, clarifying this. And then after all this clarification, people go astray. People worship graves. People call on the people in the graves, or they still worship the sun, or they worship stones and the likes like this, and they go astray. This is something that is amazing. This is something that is amazing, that one, it would be clarified, this great clarification, the obligation of worshipping Allah alone, and likewise the rest of the principles. And then after that, people would go astray. This is something amazing. So here, this is how the author, he began, مِنْ أَعْجَبُ الْعُجَابِ, from the greatest and most amazing of the affairs. So this is one thing. And also the greatness of these principles, they are amazing. Likewise, worshipping Allah alone, the creator and the sustainer of the heavens and the earth. And then likewise, not only that, in their amazement, there's an indication of the greatness and the power. وَمِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى قُدْرَةِ الْمَلِكِ الْغَلَّابِ. He mentioned, and from the greatest signs that indicate the power and the ability of Allah, Al-Malik. Al-Malik, the king. Al-Malik al-Mutasarrif. فِي هَذَا الْكَوْنِ يُعْطِي وَيَمْنَعْ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيُعِزُّ وَيُذِلْ. He is the one, he is the Malik, he is the king, Malikul Mulk. He is the king of the dominion. He is the one who has the power to give and to prohibit. And he honors and he brings honor and he lowers. يَرْفَعْ, and he raises people. وَيَغْفِلْ, and he lowers people. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day he is taking care and providing for this creation. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. These principles are indication of the greatness of the king and the power of the king, Al-Ghallab. Al-Ghallab. And Al-Qahhar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because after this great clarification, it's been clarified clearly, these principles, and then people still go astray after that. This is indication that nothing occurs in the kingdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla except with His permission, and except with His will and Mashiach, and except according to what He has decreed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody could see, for example, how amazing would it be if we know that the way to a particular place is to take this one road. And if you take that road, then you will reach your destination. And on that road, there are signs here, left and right. Go straight to what you want to go to the so-and-so town. Go straight. After 20 miles, turn left. And then there's more signs. And all over the path, there are signs indicating which way to go. The path has been made clear. No one who is paying attention would get lost. And then after this, after the road has been made clear, after that you see people going left, they're going the wrong way, turning around, some going backwards. Hey, I thought you were going to the so-and-so city. So, but this, all the signs are pointing this way. Why are you going this way? How is he going that way? No, don't go left. How? It would be amazing to see something like this. How can they do this? This is the case. These signs, and the obligation of worshiping Allah, the first principle has been clarified, the clearest of clarification. Then after that, people cannot go straight. This is because Allah did not decree for them to go straight. So after this clarity has been made clear like this, these principles have been made this clear, this is an indication of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no matter how smart somebody may be or how much they may try, they cannot achieve anything except with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then we see here that this indicates here that whenever the author, he mentions, مِنْ أَعْجَبِ الْعُجَابِ وأكبر الآيات الدالة على قدرة الملك الغلاب ستة أصول. These six principles, first, it's amazing. They're amazing. The amazing affair about them is that they're clarified so clear. And yet people still go astray. And yet people still go astray and are not guided to the correct way with regards to them. People, after the clearest of clarifications, people still go astray. This is the first thing to be amazed about with regards to these principles. The second thing the author, he mentioned, likewise, these principles, this also, this indicates the power of Allah, the true King. The one who no one can overcome him. And no one can perform anything in his kingdom except with his will and his permission and with his decree, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that after this clarification has been made clear, they still go astray, and they still can't follow the right way, this is an indication of the greatness of Allah and His power and everything. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you cannot will except if Allah wills, the Lord of the worlds. The Lord of the worlds. The author, he mentioned here, وَقُدْرَةِ الْمَلِكِ. Al-Malik min asma'i Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahu al-mulk. Now Al-Malik is from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal, the King. He's known as Al-Malik subhanahu wa ta'ala, also with the med, Al-Malik, the owner. Al-Malik is the owner, and Al-Malik is the king. Is the king, the one who has the dominion in his hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentioned about this in his book. He says, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Say, اللهم مالك الملك. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, مالك الملك, the king of the kingdom, of the dominion. You give whom you will, and you prohibit whom you will. You take away from whom you will. And you raise and you honor whom you will, and you lower whom you will. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. He is the king. In his hands is the dominion, and he has the power to do all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned likewise, rahimahullah wa ta'ala, al-ghallab. Al-malik, al-ghallab. Al-ghallab, laysa min asma'ihi al-husna, subhanahu wa ta'ala, lakinnahu wasfun lahu. سبحانه وتعالى الغلاب. He mentioned here, this is not from the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the ulama have clarified, but it is from his descriptions. So with regards to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not every name, not every attribute has taken a name from it. Not every attribute that Allah has, لَيْسُ كُلُّ الصِّفَةَ تَتَضَمَّنُ إِسْمًا لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَكِنْ كُلُّ إِسْمٍ يَتَضَمَّنُ صِفَةً لَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Not every attribute, we take a name from it. With not every attribute, we take a name from it for Allah Azza wa Jalla. But every name, there is an attribute. But every name for Allah Azza wa Jalla, there is an attribute. Allah has been described with different sifat and descriptions in His book. And some of these sifat, they are also from His names. But some of them are not from His names. Naam? Like for example, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. We wouldn't say that Allah is makir from His names. This is not from the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's not befitting for Him. But يَمْكُرْ بِمَنْ يَمْكُرُ بِهِ وَبِأَوْلِيَائِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي الْمُقَابَلَةِ. So we see that the Al-Ghallab is not from His names, but it's from His description. But from the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, similar to this name, or this wasf or this sifa, Al-Ghallab, Al-Ghalib, Al-Ghalib. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He mentioned about this in His book, Wallahu Ghalibun ala Amri. That verily Allah will overcome His affair, will overcome, and He will overcome His affair. Meaning that no one can do anything. La yaglibuhu Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَمَا يَشَاءَ يَقَعْ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا أَحَدْ يَمْنَعَ حُكْمَهُ تَبَرَكَ وَتَعَالَى. No one can stop what He has decreed. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى الْغَلَّاب. His name الْغَالِب. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَى أَمْرِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. So these are from the signs that indicate the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. What is the meaning of ayah? He says, وَأَكْبَرُ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى قُدْرَةِ الْمَلِكِ الْغَلَّابِ. الْآيَاتِ جَمُّ آيَةٌ آيَةٌ آيَةٌ. The plural آيَاتٌ وَآيٌ آيٌ جَمُّ آيَةٌ. Many verses. الْآيَةُ بِمَعْنَى الْعَلَامَةِ وأيضا بمعنى المعجزة وأيضا بمعنى العبرة العبرة. وتركنا في سورة الذاريات وتركناها آية للذين يخافون عذاب الأليم وتركناها آية للذين يخافون العذاب الأليم. أي عبرة. Speaking about the people of Lut عليه السلام, how they were destroyed, and then but Allah left them ayah, ay ibrah. وَتَرَكْنَاهَا آيَةً لِلَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. So the word ayah, from its meaning, is al-ibrah. It's a sign and a lesson that one would take. That one would take. And also from the meaning of the word ayah is an alama, a sign. A sign. Naam? A sign. Like for example, Allah has ayat al-kawniyah, universal signs that indicate His greatness. We say the ulama, they speak about this, al-ayat al-kawniyah. Ayatullahi ayatani, aw naw'ani. The signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla are two. Al-ayat al-kawniyah, the signs in the universe. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. And from His signs, the signs of Allah, the sun and the moon and the night and the day. But likewise, there are ayat, al-ayat al-shar'iyyah, or al-ayat al-qur'aniyyah, the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they're called ayat. And one verse is called an ayah. Al-ayah. Al-ayah in English, we find it means sign, verse, evidence, proof. A sign, a verse, an evidence, a proof. According to the context, the meaning could be different. Like in this verse mentioned in Surah Al-Dhariyat, it means a lesson. Likewise, a lesson. A lesson, an ibrah. It means a lesson. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions, وَعَدَكُمْ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا فَعَجَلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ هذه علامة يعني علامة على أن الله عز وجل تدل يعني هذه علامة تدل على أن الله عز وجل صادق في خبره that he's going to give them victory that he's going to give them success they have been promised and then the fact that they would take this مغانم this غنيمة this is indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was truthful in his command so we see that the word آيَة it has many different meanings from them sign Like here in this, these are signs, al-ayat, al-dalla, ala kudrat al-malik al-ghallab. They are signs indicating the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back just for a second. In the statement of the author, or even in the title, sittatu usul. And it's sittatu usulin, or al-usul sitta. The six fundamental principles. Does this mean that there's only six fundamentals? No. This is with regards to this issue. What about this way? Some people, they try to find fault with the ulama, particularly the ulama of the sunnah. And they say, what is this? Six principles, four principles, three principles? How many principles are there like this? And they try to find fault with this way. And they try to find fault with the methodology of the ulama. How many principles are there? Each one is according to the issue that is at hand. Al-usul al-thalatha, these are the three principles with regards to the questions in the grave. Al-qawa'id al-arba'a, these are the four principles with regards to the clarification directly related to tawheed and shirk. These six fundamental principles, these are six principles with regards to creed and methodology. But it's not restricted to this in this manner like this. But rather, in reality, this is the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To mention a number, or to mention an issue and couple it with a number, this is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is from the beautiful manners of teaching. And this is actually aiding the student of knowledge, and the person who is listening and learning, it is aiding him to be precise with knowledge and to learn. And likewise, it is encouraging him. Whenever a person, he hears, for example, that there are six principles. Okay, what are they? Here's the first one. Oh, what's the second one? What's the third one? Then after that, for example, if a person is trying to review them, he will know. He will be able to, okay, the first one is this, the second one. And he will know if he forgot one, he'll be like, oh, what is the fifth one? The sixth one, what is the fifth one? So this is a means to help the student, to help the people to learn and to gain the knowledge first. And before that, this is from the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many authentic narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned, for example, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ الْحَدِيثِ Three things that whoever finds them, he will find by way of them the sweetness of iman. And he mentioned them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ فَهُوَ الْمُنَافِقُ Three issues that whoever has them, then he is a hypocrite. Another narration, not only three, he said four. أَرْبَعُ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا Four affairs. Whoever has them or in him, then he is a pure hypocrite. Like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, authentic by Abi Hurairah, he mentioned sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اجتنبوا سبع المبيقات. Stay away from the seven destructive sins. That doesn't mean that there's only seven sins that are destructive, but he's mentioning these like this because of their importance. Likewise, the author, he mentions these principles and he numbers them like this because of their importance. And then to number them to make it easy to learn. So this is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another narration in Al-Musnad, the Imam Ahmad, he mentions sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اِذْمَنُوا لِي سِتَّ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَضْمَنْ لَكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ You said, guarantee me six things. Just like this one, principles. Al-usul sitta. Here the Prophet, he even mentioned the same number. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Guarantee for me six things from yourself and I'll guarantee you Jannah. He mentioned the six things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the fact of mentioning a number like this and then with regards to issues and knowledge, this is the prophetic methodology in teaching. And this is the way. So we see that the author right now, he is right on the sunnah, on the straight path in his manner in teaching like this. And likewise, this is a means that makes it easy for the students to learn. It's a manner to make it easy for the students to learn. So, We continue. The author, he mentioned about Al-Ghallab. This is not from his names, his beautiful name, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, but from his names, Al-Ghalib. Al-Ghalib. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned that in his book, he has a book of fiqh, Al-Asma al-Husna, the understanding of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned Al-Ghalib is from his names. And he mentioned, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakin akthar al-nasi la ya'lamun. And verily Allah is overcoming and overpowering his affair. He mentioned Al-Ghalib from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, Alladhi yaf'alu ma yasha. لَا يَغْلِبُهُ شَيْءٌ وَلَا يُرُدُّ حُكْمَهُ رَادٌ وَلَا يَمْلِكُ أَحَدٌ رَدَّ مَا قَضَاهُ أَوْ مَنْعَ مَا أَمْضَاهُ. Allahu Akbar. Al-Ghalib is the one that he is the overpowering and conquering and irresistible. No one can overpower him. No one can overcome him. Nothing. And no one can send back or refute or turn away his rule and his judgment, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And no one has the ability to stop what he has decreed, and no one has the ability to bring about what he has not allowed, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is the case. So then Al-Ghalab is from the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but not from his names, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sittatu usulin bayyanaha Allah Ta'ala bayyanan wadihan lil'awami fawqa ma yadhunna dhannun. And this is issues, and these six principles that have been clarified clearly to the layman, greater than what somebody could think. More clarification, even more than what somebody may suspect, whether it's been made clear and even clearer than that. So if it's been made clear even to the layman, meaning that a person doesn't have to have knowledge of usul al-fiqh and knowledge of mustalah hadith, he doesn't have to have knowledge of usul al-tafsir, he doesn't have to have knowledge of all these things to understand these issues. It's been made clear in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's been made clear in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if that's the case, then if it's clear for the layman, for the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge, it should be even more clear. It should be even more clear. And this is the case. But then the author, and this is why and where he is finding the amazement, ثُمَّ بَعْدَ هَذَا. And after this clarification, غَالِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَاءِ الْعَالَمِ. Many, after this clarification, many of the people, the most intelligent, أَذْكِيَا جَمُّ الذَّكِي. الذَّكِي, يعني السريع الفهم, يفهم سريعا, the one who's quick to understand. We call him swift in thinking. He's bright, he's intelligent, he's more than intelligent, rather he's quick to understand. Like this, these type of people in the world, even they, many of them, and the majority of them, what happened to them? They went astray with regards to this. And then likewise, we see that al-dhaka la yakfi wahda. A person, al-dhaka, the person, he's swift, he's bright, he's intelligent, he's a hard worker, he learns, memorizes. This is not enough by itself. What did he say after this clarification? غَالِطَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَذْكِيَا الْعَالَمِ. Many of the most intelligent and bright people, after this clarification, they went astray. That's because it's not enough to be dhaki. It's not enough that a person rely. He would say, oh, I'm smart, I strive, I memorize this, I memorize that. This is not enough by itself. الذكاء لا يكفي وحده. لا بد من شيء آخر. ذكاء, intelligence, brightness of the mind is not enough. There must be one more thing along with that. Huh? الزكاء. الزكاء. تزكية. الزكاة. And a person, along with being bright and intelligent, he has to have purification in his intention and purification in his heart. Purification in his creed and purification in his belief. The one who has the zakat, then this is the one who was upright and this is the one who was guided. The one, he could be the most, and he adhka al-nas, وَإِذَا لَمْ يُزَكِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. He would never be guided. If Allah did not purify him, فَلَوْلَا فَضُ اللَّهِ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. If it was not for the grace of Allah, not any of you would be purified. Meaning not any of you would be guided to the straight path into Islam. So to be intelligent is not enough. And we see that this is the case. And this is what the author, he is indicating here. That they have intelligence. And we see even to this day, the likes like this. Maybe somebody, he can build a rocket ship. He can build a car. He can build a computer that can do all of these amazing things that we see today. They have the intelligence to do all of these things. ذكي جدا في أمور الدنيا وبعد ذلك يسجد لصنم. After that he will prostrate to an idol. Or after that, he will pray to a man. Or after that, he will believe that he's the God. Some of them, they say that he's God. Or they have worse beliefs than this. And the likes of some of them, they have much money and wealth, and they have doctor's degrees, and this like this, and then he prostrates to a cow. Na'udhu billah. So what is the issue here? This is indication that dhaka, being intelligent and bright, is not enough. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies him. Now, Allah mentions about this, وَيَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَاتِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. That they know the outward affairs of this dunya. They know the outward affairs of this dunya, but with regards to the hereafter, they are heedless. And you will find many of them very bright and smart when it comes to the affairs of the dunya, but with regards to the hereafter, they are heedless. So it's not sufficient for an individual to be an intelligent alone. But rather he must rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask Him to purify him and guide him, and to guide his heart, and to guide his heart and to rectify his heart. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a beautiful statement with regards to this. A beautiful statement with regards to this. He mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he died in 728. He mentioned utu about these type of people, who, and we have seen from them, that they have great intelligence in the dunya affairs. But then when it comes to the deen, they are not able to see the right way. And they have gone far astray. He said, "Utu zaka'an wa ma utu zaka'an." And this is the cure right here. This is the point of error right here. If we could only get zakat. He said that they were given intelligence, but they were not given purification. وَأُعْطُوا فُهُومًا وَمَا أُعْطُوا عُلُومًا. They were given understanding, but they were not given the true knowledge. نَامْ وَأُعْطُوا سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفِدَةً. And they were given hearing and sight, and they were given understanding and comprehension. And then he mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَحَقَّ بِهِ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Allahu Akbar. He said that these people, they were given an intelligence, but they were not given purity. And they were given understanding, but they were not given the true knowledge. And they were given hearing and eyesight, and they had comprehension. And then he mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, and their hearing and their eyesight and their comprehension did not benefit them whatsoever, because they used to deny the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to deny the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which they used to mock came a reality for them. Now, came a reality for them. Allah mentions about these people, إِسْلَوْحَ فَاسْبِرُوا أَوْ لَا تَسْبِرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِنَّمَا تُجَزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ قَالُوا بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا. Is this not the truth? They used to deny. وَقَالُوا إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَا بِعُثِينَ. They said, it's only this life and we're not ever going to be resurrected. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ قَالَ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ قَالُوا بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا. It's going to be said to them whenever they are forced to stand in front of their Lord, is this not the truth now? Is this not the truth? And they're going to say, yes, of course. Now, قَالَ فَدُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَةِ اللَّهِ. Now, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Taste the punishment because of what you used to disbelieve. So the issue here that we understand, my noble brothers, is that it's not sufficient that a person strive and he rely upon his intelligence. Rely upon his effort, or he rely upon himself. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to seek refuge with Allah from ever relying upon himself. Some people they say, I have faith in myself, I have trust in myself, I trust myself, I have confidence in myself. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn. Oh Allah, do not entrust me to myself for the blink of an eye. Now, so we don't say, I have faith in myself. Nah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah. We're seeking the aid and assistance from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfat ayn. And do not entrust me to myself for the blink of an eye. For the blink of an eye. So this is the case if a person tries to rely upon himself. This is the case. He will not be able to make it. He will not be able to make it. Naam, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Malik, subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him, al-Hadi. تبارك وتعالى إلا أقل القليل يعني ثم بعد هذا غالط فيها كثير من أثقياء الآدم وأخذ بني آدم إلا أقل القليل. Then after this clarification, many of the most intelligent and brightest of the people and the children of Adam, they went astray. Except for who? إلا أقل القليل. except for the fewest of the few, except for the fewest of the few. So this is an indication, my noble brothers, that we have to strive to be upright. And that it's only a few that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has guided. And that if we see that we are upon guidance, then we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever we look at the reality of the creation and the people, how many people are misguided with regards to these principles directly, with regards to worshipping Allah alone, how many people are praising to are saying in the name of Jesus. In Lord's name we pray, and they're standing together, hallelujah. And this is from the some people that are worshiping cows, and this is not something that is strange in the lands of Hind and the likes like this. And the others, they even ascribe to Islam, but they're worshiping graves, and they're calling on the graves. And the likes like this. Na'udhu billah. They have gone astray. Many of the people have gone astray. Illa aqall al-qaleel, except for a few. This is so that if a person sees himself upon the guidance, then he should praise and thank Allah Azza wa Jal and strive to seek guidance and steadfastness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about this. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the majority of the people, even if you are diligent, يعني, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you are diligent, they will not be believers. The majority of the people. So in Islam, we don't look about the majority. The majority of the people are doing this. The majority of the people are on the street revolting. The majority of the people are doing this thing, that. Because the majority of the people, they will not be believers, even if you're diligent. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise, He mentioned about this reality. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And the majority of the people, they do not believe in Allah, except that they are mushrikun. Except that they are mushrikun. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. The majority of the people, they don't believe in Allah. Meaning they do believe in Allah. They don't believe in Allah except for they associate partners with Him. Meaning the majority of the people, what do? They believe in Allah, that He is the Lord and that He is the Creator and that He is Sustainer. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ رَبًّا وَخَالِقًا مُحِيًّا وَمُمِيتًا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ثُمَّ يَعْبُدُونَ غَيْرَهُ مَعَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. They believe that He's the Lord and the Creator and the one who sends the rain and gives life and death, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then they associate partners with Him and worship. This is from the statement of Ibn al-Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Likewise, from the statement of al-Hasan al-Basri with regards to this, that this is talking about a munafiq. The majority of them don't believe in Allah except they associate partners with Him. He mentioned that al-munafiq, that a hypocrite, he will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla and then he will pray, showing off for the people. Meaning that this is referring that majority of the people don't believe in Allah, they don't worship Allah except for they associate partners with Him, meaning except they worship Allah with riya, and they're showing off. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُمْ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Mentioning about the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the hypocrites, what do? They stand for salat lazily, and they don't stand except for showing off. Showing off. So, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا هُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Either they want to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, or this because of their showing off and wanting to be seen. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورُ. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورُ. And very few of My servants are thankful. Very few of My servants are thankful. So the author is mentioning here that these principles have been clarified, the greatest of clarification, and after that many of the people have went astray, except for illa aqall al-qaleel, except for the fewest of the few. And Allah is mentioning about this, that the few, these are the ones who are thankful. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِي الشَّكُورُ. Because of this, Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, اللهم اجعلني من القلة. اللهم اجعلني من القلة. Oh Allah, make me from the few. Yani from the few that are thankful. From the few that are thankful. And likewise, we see in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا. That Islam, it began as something strange. So, إِلَّا أَقَلَ الْقَلِيلِ. Many few of the people, they have not went astray with regards to these, even after its clarification. And this is an indication of the greatness of Allah and His power, and that nothing can occur in this kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with His will and with His decree. InshaAllah, tomorrow we begin with the first principle. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.